What could happen to struggling renters after a federal court said pandemic evictions can resume? I'm David Brancaccio. A federal judge has struck down the nationwide hold on evictions during pandemic, saying the CDC didn't have the authority to order them. Marketplace's Nova Safo is here live. What's the immediate effect?
Well, David, the Department of Justice says it will appeal and seek an emergency stay, so that could stop any immediate effect right there, at least for now. Also, a lot of renters are protected by states having their own moratoriums, so they're probably okay again for now. Here's Emily Benfer. She chairs the American Bar Association's COVID-19 Task Force Committee on Evictions.
There are just over a dozen state moratoriums remaining across the country. And at the same time, 19 state governors and state Supreme Courts have adopted or amended and added to the CDC moratorium locally.
Now, there's a big but here, David. Florida and Texas, big populous states, they don't have their own moratoriums, so renters there are potentially exposed. Also, there's concern the judge's ruling yesterday could embolden landlords elsewhere to go ahead with evictions.
What about longer term? What happens if an appeal supports evictions?
Well, then we could start to see some serious consequences. Here's Emily Benfer again.
It has the potential to cause widespread eviction, to open the floodgates, to increase health inequity among Black and Latinx renters across the country.
All of this could be blunted by some $50 billion in assistance for renters that Congress has funded, and groups representing landlords say that's really the answer at this point, rental assistance, not more eviction bans.
All right, Nova Safo, thank you. Checking markets, Dow and S&P futures are each up 0.2%. The NASDAQ future up 0.4% now. The U.S. government in recent years has kept a closer eye on foreign companies buying U.S. firms, as well as the export of certain technologies. Transactions involving China are a key part of this. The Biden administration is keeping to the policy, but at some cost, Marketplace's Sabri Benishore reports.
Chris Greiner is an attorney at Strzok & Strzok & Lavon. He represents companies when they have to go before CFIUS, the Committee on Foreign Investment in the U.S. This is the government office that vets foreign acquisitions of U.S. companies. Greiner remembers one tech company whose acquisition by Chinese investors was rejected by the committee.
The client keeps going back to the Chinese investors. I said, well, you just got turned down. Why are you doing this? I said, well, they're offering three times the value. Of the company. So, well, okay, maybe we have to think about, is this a real business deal or what's behind that?
Buying a company is a way to access technology. And if the technology is sensitive, say AI or quantum computing related, that can pose a national security threat in the view of the U.S. government, particularly if the buyer is in China or has links to the Chinese military. Adam Siegel is with the Council on Foreign Relations.
There were some legitimate security concerns about the types of technologies the Chinese were acquiring and how they would have an impact on Chinese military capabilities.
In 2018, Congress expanded CFIUS. At one point, it had four employees. It now has upwards of 50. Its largest division is now sifting through past deals that have already been completed to make sure none got through that shouldn't have. David Henke is a partner at Arent Fox Law Firm. He worked on the CFIUS expansion.
The pandemic has really, I think, expanded the focus of CFIUS to consider things that previously might not have been thought of as national security.
Pharmaceuticals, for example, even real estate. Separately, the Commerce Department has started to pay closer attention to what the U.S. exports to China. For instance, it blocked the export of certain supercomputers in early April out of concern it would build up Chinese military technology. The increased scrutiny has led to an intended chilling effect. Chinese foreign direct investment in the U.S. has slowed since 2016.
We know the direction this is going.
James Lewis is a senior vice president at the Center for Strategic and International Studies.
It's towards greater splitting of the two supply chains. But if we do it the wrong way, we'll hurt ourselves.
Lewis says U.S. and Chinese supply chains are deeply intertwined, and disentangling them too far is a risk.
When you talk to American chip companies or the equipment makers, they feel like they need to sell to China to keep the revenue streams that let them do the R&D on the next generation of technology.
As the Biden administration completes a review of U.S. supply chain vulnerability, it'll have to consider just how far decoupling should go. In New York, I'm Sabri Benishore for Marketplace.
We'll be right back. After the long coronavirus darkness, Broadway now lights up on a date certain, September the 14th. For the vaccinated only, New York Governor Andrew Cuomo says it'll be up to theater owners to decide based on conditions in September. Tickets for some shows go on sale today.
The Wells Fargo wagon! The Wells Fargo wagon!
One big new production is a revival of that with Hugh Jackman, set to go into previews in December. The Music Man.
Oh, the Wells Fargo wagon is a-coming down the street. Oh, don't let him pass my door.
Will they have to alter that song for modern sensibilities? Good old Wells Fargo. In the show, the townsfolk are all waiting for their package deliveries they ordered from afar. The Wells Fargo wagon is six syllables. I suppose the Amazon wagon would almost fit. The Music Man is going to open at New York's Winter Garden Theater, even with the abrupt departure of its producer, Scott Rudin, after co-workers spoke out about abusive behavior. And here's a number, 186,200, the number of restaurants, bars, and other eligible businesses that applied for a piece of the federal $28 billion Restaurant Revitalization Fund in its first 3 days of taking applications this week. On the flip side is the Small Business Administration's Paycheck Protection Program for grants or loans for businesses to keep people employed during pandemic. The news is that pot of money has run out a few weeks early. Already approved money will still get dispersed, the SBA says. I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Morning Report from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.